Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Richard Gray, head of the musical theater program at Cornish College. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mr. Gray.
I am very happy to be here.
So, Richard, first thing, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could give us a little bit about your career and background and the series of events that led up to your time at Cornish College.
Sure. I am a composer, actor, director based in the Seattle area. I went to the University of Oregon back in the 80s and immediately went into the profession. And I have had great success in both Seattle. And then I have written several shows that have been performed around the country as a composer lyricist. But my main career has been in acting and directing. And I began my teaching career about 10 years ago here at Cornish College of the Arts as an adjunct professor, and then became core faculty, and now I'm heading the musical theater program. So it's been a home base and a place that I just love and have really enjoyed seeing our students grow and flourish.
Beautiful. And you are relatively a newly minted head of the musical theater program. Is that correct?
That is correct. Until about 3 years ago, we had a theater degree with a musical theater emphasis, and then we began the musical theater major program. And with that, we've been building up both the faculty and the vigor of the program itself. So, yes.
That's really exciting. Yeah, that's really exciting for you guys. So I'm going to put you on the spot then. I put all of my guests on the spot at this point and ask you for your elevator pitch. So 60 seconds or less, why should students choose Cornish College for their musical theater training?
I love doing this. Cornish is really a program for expanding the individual artist. Many schools say they're not a cookie cutter program. I feel like we not only talk the talk, but we walk the walk, and we look at you as an individual artist, figure out what are the things that make you special, what are the things that that can make you both marketable, but also an artist that can change the world. Our motto at Cornish is artist, citizen, innovator. Because we not only think of you as a person who can, you know, nail the dance call or nail the music call, but a person that can change the art form. And those are the kind of students that really flourish here at Cornish. Those are the students that want to come here because I feel like they get seen as who they are and not just that person that can get an A in the class.
Great. Well done. And I think that was under 60 seconds. It's not often that the guests do that in under 60 seconds.
Well, I can get more details, but I won't right now.
Well, that's what the rest of the podcast is about. So thanks for not saying everything right up front. So it's my understanding that Cornish is not a sort of classic, what one would think about as a normal university. And I don't want to say the word normal, but I think you maybe embrace that you are an art school, a conservatory of sorts. Mm-hmm. And so tell us then what that first year as a musical theater major, BFA, correct? BFA musical theater major?
Yes.
So my first year as a BFA musical theater major heading to Seattle to go to Cornish, what does that first year look like for me?
Well, as in most schools, like the focus on the first year is fundamentals. We, in the course of that, we also think that we want to, again, focusing back on this understanding of who you are as an artist. So it's like to where you are at the beginning, most college students aren't the exact same human being they are in their senior year that they were in their freshman year. We understand that, but we want to see where you are kind of at your base level. What is the artist you are as you enter into college? So you're getting in the acting line, you're basically getting a text analysis class and then a kind of improv acting class, which is a kind of building up your skills as a your basic language of how we're going to approach theater through Actor and the Target, and just kind of just building up your initial acting fundamentals. In the singing department, there's a musicianship class, and then you start your private voice training. In dance, there is dance fundamentals, and in addition to that, there's opportunity for some elective work, but it, again, it's like the main focus in the first year is to get kind of the language that we're going to then expand upon through the second, third, and fourth years in your classes and in production.
So you just mentioned dance fundamentals. What about for the student that's coming with years and years of dance experience, and if they're a really, really great dancer, are they going into the same dance class as all of the other students, or is there an opportunity to level up?
Well, we're discussing opportunities of how to figure out how we can level up in the classes. We have a vigorous dance department here that we want to be able to have students be able to take classes in if they have. We definitely have students that have come in that are going like, I'm at the basic level of dance. And we have students that come in who have said, I've been dancing for 10 years. And that's my lead. That's the thing that is my wheelhouse. We're both trying to build ways. Again, this program is the major is pretty new. We're trying to build ways that they can level up into the dance department, or that we can find ways that we can level them up within our dance theater curriculum. Again, a lot of that times is in scheduling. We're, to be honest, right now in the first year, that first class is a kind of core class, that you would hit. So it's a lot of bar work and strengthening. It isn't kind mm-hmm. of, you don't hit the ground at like kind of advanced in that first year. And also part of it is we want the first year students to dance together to kind of build their right. cohort. And then from there, figure out where they can grow and level.
Yeah. So in a lot of BFA programs, your 4 years are sort of mapped out for you because it's just so jam-packed. It's basically a triple major when you're going into musical theater. Is there the ability to customize your schedule at all in the Cornish program, with electives or cross-training in other departments or anything like that?
Well, definitely. Right now, where we're at is... The first year, not so much. There's a little bit, but as the years progress, more and more opportunities open up for elective choices to move into some of the other departments. Being an art school, we have some that are interested in design. Some people are interested in film work, and they take those as electives. There's within our department, we have very specific opportunities to take a class in. We have a class in burlesque that we teach for some of our third and fourth year students. We have a class in, we have clown, we have, you know, stage combat, different things that are like, that are ways that you can specialize. You can be certified. Yeah, there's a track to certify yourself as a fight choreographer. There are opportunities to kind of like discover your own kind of focus. I created a course last year because one of my passions is writing musical theater. So we created a very popular class in writing musical theater that, has become a great source for a lot of our students because they come into our program saying, I'm a generative artist, and I want to generate new content. That's again, the kind of student that Cornish attracts is the student that doesn't want to just, you know, be hired in the ensemble, but actually create the new musical. In order to do that, we got to give them some training to do that. And also then give them some opportunities. So we have, I have a couple students right now in the program who are beginning to kind of dial in, came in as musical theater majors, but they're dialing in. And by the time they get to their fourth year, they're really focused on being a writer and creator of musical theater. Mm-hmm.
So, and we mentioned that Cornish is an art school. What are the gen ed requirements for BFA musical theater majors?
Oh, I won't be able to be specific because it's not my pocket. But,
sure.
There are definitely some H&S requirements because of the nature of accreditation. But it's like I don't think they're like I know for a fact that there are some students that try to get them all done really quick and like within the first, second year, and then others that have like put them off and then they mm-hmm. build up and have to come in third and fourth year. But I don't have the specifics of what those classes are.
without the specifics, there are maths and sciences and English classes that are offered at Cornish in addition to art school. They're just not a large part of the curriculum, that's so to speak.
No, but it's important.
Is that correct in saying?
Yeah, it's important.
Of course. Yeah. And of course it's important. You're in college. My goodness. let's talk about... Exactly. So let's talk about the performance opportunities there. What and I know there's a lot to get into in the performance opportunities at Cornish. So let me ask a general question first, and then I'll sort of just let you go. Mm-hmm. Are all performance opportunities, like all of your musicals, all of your plays, are they open to everyone at the at the college, or just the majors?
No. The performance opportunities, the performance in production are only open to second, third, and fourth year acting or works and musical theater majors. There have been some times in the past where we've gotten some music majors involved, but they have been specifically music majors that the department has recommended to us as, like, this person is very interested in also, you know, being... including in their training some interest in musical theater. And so it is a little bit by recommendation for someone to be allowed, but we have enough great students and we want to give them the opportunities within our program. But we do.
So what's available?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Sorry about that. I said, so what's available? So what's the season, quote unquote. It's kind of hard at Cornish to say it's a season because there's so many things, but what's out there and available for performances?
In general, we have, this is a really generalization, but in the fall we have main stage play production. We have a chamber musical going on. Those are the two main productions. And in the spring, those get switched, a main stage musical and a chamber play, usually a heightened language play. And sometimes, depending on the choices that get done in the season, some of those will swap. But there's usually a major musical and a play in both fall and spring semester. That is such a generalization. In addition to that, there's always a series of opportunities for students to perform in other student work. We've created a kind of a student curated program called the Hen House, where every like month or so around a topic, then the students can curate an evening of entertainment, and it can be like a Belters musical theater night, or it could be a night of spoken word and kind of generative performance art. Mm-hmm. There's just a wide variety that we've had in this, and those are kind of student curated and student driven. In addition to that, a lot of our senior thesis projects are performance based or director based, and so then they put requests out for students too. So like our students can if they want to be very active in production both in fall and spring term.
Mm-hmm. And how important in the musical theater department is film and on camera acting? In your program?
Very interesting question, because I think it's evolving. I think before COVID, obviously we were kind of, you know, feeling stage is it. And then as we discovered that there's a lot of opportunity to learn, like many colleges, we pivoted to virtual work. And the way we really approached our virtual musicals was very much like doing a little mini movie musical. The on-camera work was really important to us, and not just like a Zoom window musical, but just kind of really approaching the scene work like film work. We learned a lot, our students learned a lot, and we also saw the business moving into on-camera auditions, and that became a huge part of our program. Our film department is... great film department, and I'm really excited to see how we can collaborate more. I mean, they've always collaborated with the actors in the acting or works program, but the musical theater program specifically, we have many students who are interested in in that kind of work, and it just makes their work deeper. So we don't discourage all of those collaborations. We actually encourage them, you know, if they can, again, fit it into their schedule, which at times can be, like most colleges, can be a challenge.
Right. Right. Well, like we said, BFA is a triple major. I mean, there's lots to get in there. This is also a longer list than most when I ask this question to colleges. So, but I want to talk about notable alum or faculty. And I know that the MT program is relatively new, but as far as Cornish goes, tell us a little bit about some success stories of students or some other notable faculty that students will be working with while they're there.
Well, I think, you know, our faculty, this really describes the fact that I'm saying our school is really seeking the individual and celebrating the individual. Our notable alumni from musical theater, even before we had the major when it was a musical theater emphasis, include Jinx Monsoon from RuPaul's Drag Race, who's like, there's a theater performer. We have Don Darryl Rivera, who's playing Iago, who's played Iago since the beginning in Aladdin on Broadway. We have Sarah Porkolab, who has just stirred up, you know, wonderful discussions in 1776. These are the artist activist innovators, ones that are challenging the norm, ones that are really breaking down barriers, ones that are, you know, absolutely unique performers. I feel like, you know, we talk about our program not filing away the things that make you wonderfully unique, but actually celebrating the things that make you unique. And I think those are three great examples of three completely different artists, but artists that have really celebrated. There's nobody like them on the planet.
Right.
And that's why
I
love this.
Sorry.
I love this program because of the fact that they don't, and I think if they had gone to another school, they would have had a different kind of success where they wouldn't have been able to celebrate the kind of the difference, this special, the thing that makes them special in another school might have been the thing that makes you stand out in a weird way, and they want to take that away. And I go like, no, we love that.
Great. So Seattle is a huge arts city. I mean, there's so much to do in Seattle. The Fifth Avenue Theater there that premieres these giant musicals before they head to Broadway, and you have all these other little fringe theaters as well. Tell us sort of how Cornish, who's plopped right down in the middle of all of it, how does Cornish sort of weave itself into the fabric of the arts community there?
Well, you can't throw a rock at any of those theaters without seeing a huge, huge population of Cornish alum. And that not only work on stage, but backstage in the office. It's each one of the organizations here has a direct connection to Cornish. And part of that, because like I've said before, the main focus since the beginning of Cornish 100 years ago has been generative work, which is being the creator of the work and not just the reciter of the work. To be in a town that not only has the Fifth Avenue that does, you know, the big new work that directly goes to Broadway, things like Hairspray, Memphis, Shrek, but also we have in our community the Village Theater, who was a main developer on shows like Next to Normal and Million Dollar Quartet, and so there's just many. And then there's the Intimon Theater, which was a main developer of Light in the Piazza. So we have the Rep also, along with the Fifth Avenue, the Seattle Rep was one of the developers of Come From Away. So the variety of shows that have been developed within this community is wide. And we really have many, many theaters that are pipelines of new work, not just new plays, but in new musicals. And we may be way over here on the other coast from New York, but we're definitely a great incubator of work here. And I think our students have been not only able to see all those shows getting built and see them develop, but for some of them, you know, they've been able to watch them kind of grow and flourish, you know. And
Yeah. I was just there and in Seattle a few weeks ago, and I was able to take my mom, actually, and we went and saw the Griswolds Broadway Vacation. And we were there just a couple of nights before its official opening. And that was just such a great, cool experience to see these shows that are going to Broadway and that are going to have a life on there, to be able to say, hey, I saw that before it was even on Broadway. And that is a giant musical there, with big names that are helping build these musicals up. And that's a great opportunity to be in a city where that sort of serves as an incubator. And there's big Broadway producers coming there all the time. And you're right. There's so many musicals that have come out of there. The music scene in Seattle as well. I mean, absolutely. It's just an exciting place to be. Yeah. Are students often working while they're still taking classes at Cornish? Are they getting out there and working while before they've graduated?
As performers, not usually, just because, again, the schedule is really hard in that regard. We try to not encourage overloading yourself with outside performances while the schools are going. Of course, that happens when a great opportunity comes around. We don't want to squelch it. A lot of times a student might take that outside performance and have that be their senior thesis. So they work their senior thesis around that outside performance, which is good in some ways. But the challenge can be you get to your fourth year. And so much of that fourth year is professional pivot. It's about taking you as the artist and now, like, how do we launch you into the profession? And so because of that, if you have a great opportunity, that's a great way of launching you into the profession, obviously. If it's second or third year, it's pretty discouraged just because there's enough work to be done here. And I'd say we say no to your second and third year, to be honest. In fourth year, and then it's more open in fourth year. We have three students right now in the fall term who are doing projects right now outside of the college, and they're just great opportunities. And because of those specific students, we looked at their trajectory and said, like, oh yeah, this is exactly what you should be doing right now, and they've made it work.
So, in what ways, as students are completing their fourth year, in what ways does Cornish sort of help them with the transition into becoming professional performers? Is there a showcase?
There's a showcase.
Classes in the business or anything like that. Tell us about the showcase.
Yeah, we do a local showcase at the end of the fall term. Primarily because of the way, I don't know how other regional theater markets work, but in Seattle, definitely the audition season, if we were to wait till the end of spring term, we're like a year out for auditions for our students. And also our cast, the casting directors and artistic directors locally know that first week in December is a showcase week for Cornish students, and they are excited about seeing the new, you know, crop of artists that are going to come and feed into their theaters. And many of our students get work from that showcase. It's an important time, but also part of that is also, I don't think we just wait until the showcase. Those relationships are built earlier on. We get a lot of the casting directors to come into our audition classes to talk to them, so that they have relationships with these important people at the beginnings of their career. Now, we have some students that leave Cornish and immediately leave to LA or to New York or to other major markets, and we encourage them to do research on those things too. But primarily, a lot of our students graduate, have relationships with local theaters, begin to build up a resume with local work, and then when they feel ready, go from there rather than directly from the 4 years. That's just what we've discovered has been the habit. Seattle's a great place to live and work. We have a lot of theater going on, so a lot of people don't want to leave right after Cornish.
Well, that was going to be my question. Can you live successfully, support yourself with the amount of theater that's happening in Seattle and just never have to leave?
Yes. It's a great place to live and work. And partly because the fact that we have so many theaters, I mean, and so much support of the theaters that we have here. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we're rebuilding that because of, you know, after the last couple of years, but it's a very well-educated and well-supported city, arts-supported city. I mean, when I say educated, like arts-educated city, so that like the audience is thirsty for quality new work. And so our students come out, and if they're excited about that, that's great. Now, if they want to, there are many other opportunities in other cities that are like a little bit more, you know, our season is, we're doing a golden age season of Music Man, How to Succeed, such and such. And they're like, and that's, they can go do that in other places. But, you know, I feel like the Seattle theater community, even at a place like the Fifth Avenue, you know, of their seven shows, three are usually new work. Two or three are usually new work. Some are like direct to Broadway, like the Griswolds Experience, you know, or like are trying to out of town tryouts. So if they're not like locally produced, because like, you know, out of the seven shows at the Fifth, four are cast with local people. And some of those are brand new work. So there are opportunities. Beautiful. It's a great place to be.
Yeah. So let's switch gears now into the last section of the podcast. And that is going to be talking about the audition process. And so the first question I have is, does Cornish require a pre-screen?
At this point, no. We're talking about it at some point, but at this point, no. We will.
Sure.
We go directly to the live audition. I think part of the sign up is you have application, but it's not like
right.
Pre-screen before the live audition.
Right. And you personally attend at least some of these auditions, correct?
I'll be attending all of the live auditions this year.
Great. And so tell us, what are you looking for in the audition room? And I mean both material, what are the requirements, and beyond the material, what is it that's going to catch your eye?
The requirements for the for the audition are, we have a couple monologues that you can choose from to do rather than bringing in your own, which I think is common. And then I think it's two songs in the musical theater program, two contrasting songs. In the audition, again, there'll be a dance call, a little improv call. There's the monologue and song combination, and then a little piece of the interview. And to be honest, all of those play a role in how we look at our student selections. Really what we're looking for is the Cornish student, the one that we think is the students that are unique. I will be honest with you, the shiny kids, we go, I don't think you're going to want to be here. If you're like, if it's all polish and nothing underneath, I don't think you're gonna thrive in our school. The ones that go, the ones that if you come to our audition and you show us who you are and you peel away a little bit of that veneer and show us your heart, and show us your passion, I think there's a place for you here, and I think there's a place for you in the profession, and that's part of why I think, you know. We can see the kid a mile away who's going to say yes to Cornish.
That's an interesting statement.
You're going to love this school. And we see the kid that go like, yeah, you're probably not going to choose us to the kid. I mean, I'm being honest, because we say like, I think what you want is kind of the, and I'm not putting these schools down. What you want is that kind of like, regimented, you know, you need to belt a D, you need to kick the side of your ear, you need to do this, you know, those kind of training programs. If that's what that student wants, there's a place for them. Our school,
yeah,
again, if you look at the students that have come out of our school, and I just mentioned the three that are right now on Broadway making noise. There are many other students from, that have Cornish training that have gone on and are working in regional markets and doing really, really well because they're like, there's nobody like them.
Mm-hmm. Let's step back for a second and address two parts of the musical theater audition that are a little bit different than what students are probably used to hearing. The first one, you give them monologues to choose from to bring in. Tell us what the thought is behind that, and what do you say to students that maybe that just those aren't the right monologues for them? Like, what tell us about that?
Right. The thing about those monologues, it might be like choose either one, and these might they're not gender specific. The students can come in and be able to. We know those monologues really well. We know they're good pieces. We are able to direct then the student and see adjustments that the student makes within the audition. And we can see, we learn a lot from that. A lot of times those coached materials, which are great for other auditions, tell you a bunch of other different factors in the audition process. But the thing about those two selected monologues is that it gives us an even playing field. To see the students against each other, to see the students make choices, to see what kind of choices they'll make within that material, and then how they make adjustments in the room.
Hmm. So you're just trying to get them all, like you said, you're leveling the playing field by having them all do the same material. That's interesting. And I know very stressful for some of my students, if I'm honest, when they saw that. Yeah. But I think it's good to sort of throw them a curveball.
It's good.
Because then, like you said, they're stepping out of that overcoached material, which I always stress with my kids. Like, stop choreographing your monologues down to I'm going to move my hand on this word every time. So I actually think that's kind of great.
Right. And I also think the challenge is sometimes with the material that comes in. I'm not saying you coach them this way, Tim. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's some students that come in and go like, look how clever I am. And look how that this is a funny piece. And I go like, but that doesn't tell me anything about who you are as an actor.
Right.
But
and
it means that you chose a monologue with a funny punchline.
Hiding behind the writing.
Right, hiding behind
the writing. Then it's not you that's being funny. It was a joke that was written that you're reciting. I totally get that. And I try to drive home to my kids so often that a comedic monologue does not necessarily mean that you're making the people behind the table fall out of their chair laughing. It just means it's not a serious monologue, like a lighthearted monologue. And the same with a dramatic monologue. You don't need to make them cry. It just means it's not a funny monologue.
Are you honest? Are you playing your target? Are you trying to affect the individual you're doing the monologue toward? Are you actually playing an objective? I know that seems so obvious, but it's like can often be, not there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you mentioned an improv section of it. Now, of course, improv means you don't get advance notice as to what you're supposed to be saying or doing. But tell us what that looks like. How is there an improv section of their audition?
Well, like I said, a lot of a big portion of the Cornish program is generative work. And so it's like just to get people in the room, whether or not we can get a group of people in like a dance call and have them move together and respond together. Again, I don't think it's theater games as much as it is just a chance for us to get an example of our generative work that we do in class, and have it be in response in the room. We learn a lot in that span of time. It's like when we say improv, I don't want you to think like, oh, fun improv games. Look, this is a box. What is this? That doesn't really teach me anything about who you are as an actor. But seeing how you respond to other people in the room, listening and responding in real time is a great exercise in just seeing the students that are receptive to that. And again, it goes back to that. We are seeing then students start to target an objective, start to play towards an action. And the fun thing for me about auditions too, the live auditions, is seeing the students that I go, you may not get it here, but I see the potential that you will. You know, the same thing with those given monologues that we give them. It's like, if they don't have to be, we're not expecting to see opening night performance, but I want to see if they're on their way. Or if I see they can say they have the sliver of it. The point of going to college is to bring some of those elements to build you as a better actor. If we're not expecting you to come in to that high school audition already ready to win your Tony.
Right. Right. So is there a target number for an incoming class size that you're looking for MT kids?
I don't even know. To be honest, Kim, I don't know. We've the numbers have changed so much through COVID, and we're back up where we were pre-COVID, but I don't know what the target is for next year. I know we're right now, with the amount of applications we've had, we're way ahead of where we were pre-COVID, which I think is exciting. It's both exciting for the program, but also exciting nationally, just to see how many students are interested in musical theater. I mean, there was a fear because it was put on hold that people would lose their interest in it. And I don't think it's going away. I think it's evolved like every other art form, but the passion that students have to train in musical theater is still there. And that is thrilling.
Yeah. And we're even seeing new programs starting again at colleges. I don't think that ever really stopped, but there are new BFA programs popping up, seems like, every year.
Right.
The
reason why that is because students want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Students want it, absolutely. So it's been so great sitting down and talk to you and learn more about the Cornish's new musical theater program. Tell us, my last question always, tell us something that you're looking forward to.
I'll tell you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing the students that are graduating, that graduated last year and graduating this year. I'm looking forward to seeing how they're going to change the art form. I see how they have the potential to do it. I'm excited to see how they take where musical theater is going and blow it up. I always say, I don't want to train our students to be in the musical theater that existed in 2005. I want to train them to be in the musical theater that's going to exist in 2030. It's growing and it's evolving and it's challenging people in different ways. And so I want our students to be ready for that. That's what I'm hoping.
Very well said. Great. So students want to learn more about the Cornish College Musical Theater Program, or parents, what's the best way to get in touch?
Well, you can go to our college website, Cornish College of the Arts. Is it Cornish? I don't know exactly what our Cornish College website is. I should know.
It's cornish.edu.
Thank you. I was going to say that, but then I go oh, I'm going to get it wrong. Cornish.edu.
That's cornish.edu. Awesome. Richard, thanks so much for joining us.
Website. Okay.
I won't tell your boss. I won't. All right. So great to sit and chat with you today. We hope to see you around here again real soon. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you, Tim.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.